What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I'm your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me today is the man who is a fantastic party planner, the good deacon, Scott Aiken.
Fantastic party planner. Well, you know, I get crunched, as many husbands do, and we're trying to remember the critical dates in our calendar. And your birthday is a critical date on my calendar, as it should be. And so, yes, I did my best to bring about party atmosphere with all the family, and God provided, and so did Fred Meyer. So thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God for that. But it was wonderful. Our house is still full of beautiful flowers. From you brought me flowers, and our children brought me flowers, and our granddaughter brought me a balloon and learned how to say happy birthday, Mimi. So yes, this grandma was very excited. Of course, you know my favorite things, and I'm going to be enjoying tickets to a show that is traveling through the area. So that's musicals and a great meal. That is a fantastic day.
Well, you'll be proud of me that I splurged on the tickets and not on the flowers. The flowers this time of year are the cheapest they are at any time, opposed to Valentine's Day. So the roses that I bought you were just a fraction of the cost that they are on Valentine's Day. They were beautiful.
So see, and there you go. So both of us are very happy because I got a wonderful gift and you were able to save a little bit of money, which gets to my next point. Now, leading up to that celebration, we had a misunderstanding and it blew up a little bit more than what we had intended. And even after all these years of a marriage, for our listeners, you should know, we still have moments where we don't act our best and we don't have grace for the other person. And you had said something and I just heard it in the worst possible light. And we had a disagreement and we got upset with each other and it took us some time to recover. What we realize is that even at this many years of marriage, and even knowing that we have our faith to get us on track, that boy, we open ourselves up to temptation and we can really get self-centered at times.
Well, and as I shared with you, after we were kind of coming out of the valley that we went into, and I think it's great that people need to know that, you know, the ordination doesn't provide us any leg up on the challenges of what we have to contend with when we're married. In any marriage, there's these moments. But I saw clearly that this comes on the coattails of a great week that I had in back in, of all places, Toledo, Ohio, where I went to the national conference for the Encounter Ministries gathering, and it was just phenomenal. And we want to talk about that today, but I just think just the immensity of grace that was poured out, juxtaposed by the challenge that when you come back into the valley, like coming off of Mount Tabor, I felt like I was very much doing that. The devil says, well, let's just test your resolve. And so I had to really dig deep and recognize, hey, Scott, you're not hearing what you're saying in the way that your wife is, and you need to pivot. And so I did, by God's grace, and you were accepting of that, and the mercy that comes through that mutualism of the grace of marriage brings forth an ongoing love for one another in spite of what the devil might otherwise have hoped for. So,
and you bring up an excellent point, because there was a misunderstanding, and something that you said very lightly, I took in the worst possible way. Had it been any other day or any other moment in time, that kind of thing might have just been laughed off and then we'd have gone about our day. But there was something about that particular morning where it just struck the wrong chord. The benefit that we have, though, of our Catholic marriage, I think maybe better describes that the graces that we receive from that sacrament is what we are able to fall onto to recover, because that's important too. While it did happen and it got a little heated, we had to fall back on that sacrament and our faith to recover.
Yes. Yeah, so that's, you know, to see that we are always in, so we live this life needing to be aware of and be docile to God's direction, but be aware of the fact that that direction will be thwarted to the best of the devil's ability to try and undermine unity and undermine mercy. And so marriage represents that possibility of mercy and grace that comes through the sacrament. And so we were able to I think really live into that well this week just before your birthday, and I'm grateful for it in retrospect. And I also again recognize I would not change a thing. If the devil's going to attack me and us from a grace-filled experience, let that be the case. I'll be a warrior for God to stand in the fray and do the things that we did in grace and do it again. So,
oh, absolutely. And I don't want to relive the day, but I am glad that it turned out the way that it did, for sure. Well, that does bring us to today's show, because Scott, you talked about this national conference that you just went to, the Encounter Ministry National Conference. You have an opportunity to know more about the Encounter School of Ministry right here in Portland. Janice Atkins is the program director of the Portland Encounter School, and she's joining us up next to let you know about a special event where you can get very intense weekend learning about this ministry.
And with great zeal and passion for the Lord, I want to share with you that experience and what is to be expected with this upcoming summer intensive that I'll be an integral part of, as I'll be co-emceeing that for the community of Portland, Vancouver.
So stay with us. We've got a great show ahead for you on this week's View from the Pew.
The 18th century skeptic philosopher David Hume argued the wise man should never believe in miracles because the evidence for what occurs over and over, the regular, always outweighs evidence for what does not, the rare. But is Hume right? Well, no, and here are some reasons why. First, it's not true evidence for uniform experience always outweighs evidence for what is rare. For example, have you experienced any Big Bangs lately? My guess is no. Does that mean we should reject the Big Bang? Of course not. Second, Hume's principle nullifies science itself. How could scientists ever reasonably use new findings to update their understanding of the universe if it's unreasonable to accept what contradicts our uniform experience? The answer is, they couldn't. So, are miracles in and of themselves off limits for the wise, as Hume puts it? Absolutely not. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Summertime is a great time to drive the open road, unless your old reliable wheels just aren't up to the task anymore. You know who could use that old car? Mater Dei Radio. You can donate most vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, RVs, and boats to Mater Dei Radio's vehicle donation program, with the proceeds supporting a faith-filled Catholic broadcast, and in return, getting yourself a likely tax deduction. More information on our vehicle donation program at materdeiradio.com.
It's Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken with their View from the Pew on Mater Dei Radio.
It was 2 years ago here in the Archdiocese of Portland that the Encounter School of Ministry opened up a satellite school, and it's at Christ the King. And joining me today, coming off of an incredible national conference, she's here to invite you to an opportunity to learn more this summer. Janice Atkins is joining me today. She is the new director of the Encounter School of Ministry Portland campus, and she's going to tell us all about the wonderful summer intensive that's coming up in just a few weeks. Good morning, Janice. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Good morning, Brenda. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you. I've been familiar with you and your work and all that's going on in the campus ministry because the good deacon has been a part of this satellite campus. You are doing amazing work there. So for our listeners, please introduce yourself and tell me how you became involved with Encounter Ministries.
Yes, so my name is Janice Atkins. I am the director of the Encounter School of Ministry Portland campus. And how I became involved with Encounter was actually 3 short years ago. I was at a school of healing that was being put on at St. Joseph the Worker there in Portland. And never being exposed to Encounter or anything about Encounter, I had a dear friend, his name was Kevin Monetti, and he was actually the previous director of the school. And Kevin's so beautiful, and he's always welcoming and inviting everyone he knows to these type of events. And so I had actually just gone through a really intense traumatic event where I broke my ankle. And I had to have surgery on it. And so I was laid up in bed for like 2 months. And during that time, I just was really in deep dialogue with the Lord. So I was a working woman. I was working 60 hours a week. And I also had 5 children at home and, you know, really just prided myself in my identity as, you know, people say superwoman, right? Like I was working and I was doing motherhood and wife and whatnot, but kind of came to a crossroads of my life where the Lord was like, girl, what are you doing? So here I am in bed, and after my surgery, I was actually having complications where my body was not healing properly, and I was in intense pain, and the pain was only getting worse, and the pain medication was not helping. And so I found myself taking more and more and more medication just to try to help with the pain. You know, growing up, so I'm a cradle Catholic. I'm 1 of 10, and grew up, you know, going to Catholic church and Catholic school, and I knew that Jesus healed. I just didn't know if he was still healing today, if that makes any sense. But I thought, yeah, I'll give it a try. I'll give it a try. So I went to this event with not really a whole lot of expectation, but I just knew like I could not carry on with the amount of pain and suffering that I was currently going through, and even just emotional pain and suffering too. And so when I was at that event, I remember sitting in the pew just crying out to Jesus. Like, I had just gone through a pretty bad miscarriage as well. So I was just like crying out to Jesus, like, what is going on with my body? And where are you right now? And I just remember saying like, Lord, I cannot cope with the pain anymore. And I need your help. I need your healing love and your guidance. And it was during the corporate prayer that we were praying, and all of a sudden I felt an intense electricity come through my leg and this warm, like warming sensation. And as I looked down, because I had my boot off, because I guess part of me had some faith because I'm already getting ready, taking my boot off, like, you know, like, let's go, let's do this thing. So as I was looking down at my foot, all of the pain and the nerve issues that I was having dissipated instantly. And so in that moment, I realized not only is Jesus, you know, Lord and King, but Jesus is still actively healing people today.
Yeah, Janice, I'd love to ask you this, because I think that when we open up the Bible and we read of the miracles that Jesus did, and then we read in the Acts of the Apostles and how they went out and healed people and cast out demons, that we put in our minds this parameter that, yes, there were miracles, but that was something for another time. That we, yeah, in this modern world, there is a medicine that is there to cure us. And we just, miracles aren't a thing that happens. But what we understand, and I think what you talk about in Encounter Ministries, is that we are all called to still be a part of God's miracles that happen every day.
In the gospel in Mark chapter 16, it speaks upon that, right? It says that these signs will accompany those who believe. And in my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will lay out their hands over the sick and they will recover. So I, in my head, understood that, you know, from a biblical context, but you don't necessarily see that in your everyday life in the church, right? And so there's almost a sense of disconnect, like, oh yes, that happened back then. Or maybe that happens with select few, like the saints that we've read about in the past. But I, as just kind of a lay Catholic Christian, you know, don't see that in my everyday life prior to becoming involved in Encounter Ministry. So I can definitely say in this past 3 years, that is no longer a part of my vocabulary. I, on a weekly basis, see miracles happen all around me, and it's so good and it's so beautiful, and it's a testament to the Lord's, you know, divine power, but also to his divine love that he has for his children. He's a good dad. Like, I've seen, you know, a hangnail restored versus, you know, people getting out of their wheelchairs and walking type of thing. So it's nothing too small or too big for him, and he just wants to pour out his love upon us.
Jan, is coming up on August 1st and 2nd. It is your summer intensive. So the school itself is 2 years, but people can kind of get a taste of what is involved in the school. Tell me about what happens at the summer intensive.
Yeah, so at the summer intensive, it's a retreat-style weekend where participants can come and experience a couple of sessions from the first four quarters of our school. So they'll get a little bit of a taste of identity and transformation, hearing the Lord's voice and the prophetic gifts of the Holy Spirit, power and healing. And then we finish up the weekend on a little bit of inner healing. So it kind of just gives you a good foundation of what the Lord is kind of inviting people into. And it's a good time to discern as well, you know, is the Lord calling me into more? And I even have a lot of people who are like, I'm not interested necessarily in the school per se, but I want to come and just experience, because the Lord always has something for each participant, right? As we give him our yes, he's working out within us what he wants for our mission as disciples of him.
And then, Janice, for those who are like, this is, I think, what I have been looking for, and they want to go online and register, just give us a little bit of an outline about how those days of the intensive are going to run.
Yeah, so we'll gather together. Our first day is on Friday, August 1st, and doors will open at 4:30. Worship begins at 5, and that'll be our identity and transformation that night, so those sessions. And then the evening officially ends at 9 p.m., but from 9 to 10, for those who are hungry and desiring, we will be offering prayer ministry from some of our trained ministers, and they can receive prayer, you know, in regards to just what the Lord has on his heart for them, or even just asking for physical things or whatever. So that'll happen, and then we'll resume Saturday morning, August 12th or 2nd. And doors will open at 8:30 in the morning. Worship begins at 9 a.m. And so we'll definitely have lunch breaks throughout there as well. And during that time, we'll go over the hearing God's voice and prophetic gifts and power and physical healing. And then we'll resume again after dinner to wrap it up with the inner healing. I do want to say as well, there is a vigil mass at 5:30. During the dinner break at Christ the King there, which is on our campus. So for those who are interested in attending the vigil mass, that will be an option as well. And then once again, night closes at 9 p.m., and then we'll wrap it up with extended healing prayer from 9 to 10 p.m.
It sounds exactly like the title. It is a very intense and focused weekend. Janice, from the summer intensive, then, are people invited into the school, or is this a replacement for the school? How did the two relate?
You know, both of those options are available. So as people pray and discern and ask the Holy Spirit for their guidance, the Holy Spirit might be drawing them in and asking, you know, them to enter into that discipleship and that fellowship. I know that there's been many people who have done that as well, but I've also had some people who are like, you know, I don't feel like the Lord's calling me into this, but at the same time, it's really nice just to hear how the Holy Spirit is working throughout the church. And I like to tell people as well, because when I started the school as a student, I honestly wasn't signing up for the 2-year commitment, because it is a year or a 2-year school, right? I was signing up because in that space and time, I was a pretty broken person, and I really just needed to hear the Lord's love for me. And so I was just committing for the first quarter, and I wasn't sure where it would take me after that. So I just want to encourage, you know, participants as well. It's not like, oh, you're committing for 2 years. Like, the Lord is moving and working throughout you, and he's going to be guiding and directing you exactly what he wants for you. So I just want to encourage people for that.
Janice, thank you so much for joining us today, and I'm sure that it will be an amazing weekend for those who attend. And thank you so much for joining us today and giving us your time.
Thank you so much, Brenda.
Scott, this is a national conference that you have been going to for several years, and it's been a wonderful part of your ministry. You went through the school program yourself. It was 2 years, and you've also been part of the program that's happening at Christ the King Church. For our listeners, too, like Janice had shared her experience, what was it like for you at the national conference this year?
Well, both Janice and I attended, along with a number of students from our Portland campus, about 25 in total. And Janice and I went through the school at the same time. And so we have a pairing of experience that we both bring to the Portland campus here. And so she now, as executive director, has taken on that role in place of Kevin Minetti, who just moved to the national office in Brighton, Michigan. So the Encounter Ministries, for those of you who may be listening, if you've never heard of that, I encourage you to go to look that up online, Encounter Ministries Portland campus, and that will lead you to the national campus. It's been around since about 2017 is when it really got its footing, and it's exploded, and it's a movement of the Holy Spirit. And I just am so excited to come and express that on this radio show, but also to be prepared for the summer intensive to share that with people who will be coming to see what it's about. This is kind of a come and see what is Encounter Ministries about. And I'll just say it in a nutshell. Encounter Ministries, it is empowering our baptismal superpower. The baptism that we receive is our superpower in the spiritual world that we and in the physical world that we have to contend with. We are body and spirit, as the Catechism clearly says, and as Christ clearly examples in his incarnate presence. But that means then, how do we feed our spirit to recognize what do we do with not just our body, but with our spirit? And Jesus calls us to pray over one another, to pray with one another, and to be his hands and his feet. And I think we take that almost in a haphazard kind of a blasé way. No, it is concrete and foundational to our faith. And so at this conference, just to say, we had 5 bishops, 50 deacons, 200 priests, 200 plus religious brothers and sisters, and 4,500 laity who came. It was an enormous gathering and a testament to the growth in these many years. So just excited to be there and to see the fruits that came out of that healing ministry. People were healed. People received prophetic word. And it was from Catholics who are embracing the tradition of our faith that we have lost, which is rooted in Acts of the Apostles. Jesus says, you will do this and more because I'm going to the Father. The this is healing, prophetic word, and fighting spiritual battle. And so that's why when I came back, I just recognized this is, you know, the devil's trying to play both ends of my experience on this when we had that little bit of a tiff. Mm-hmm. And once we recognized it, we named it, boom. We together overcame that by God's grace. So I'm just excited, as you can probably hear by my voice, of what the potential is for Portland, who needs this. Vancouver, Portland area, as much as any Western city, has so many unchurched, so many people hungry to know truth. And all they get is, what's your truth? And it's not an experience of relativism. It should be an experience of recognizing who has the truth, and it is Jesus Christ.
So that event is coming up, as I talked about, and you heard the details also from Janice in our interview today. Now, I'm going to put more information on the podcast of today's View from the Pew so that way you can also read more about it. Scott, you are going to be one of the presenters at that weekend. When they say intensive, the summer intensive, people should plan to spend quite a few hours there at Christ the King Church in Milwaukee. How long are the days?
So the first day is an evening from about 5:30 until 10. The next day will be starting in the morning around 9 o'clock, and then we'll go until probably about 10 o'clock at night. We'll have certainly meal breaks in between, but I'm telling you, the speed at which time goes by is just amazing because it actually, for many of the participants, they step out of time and step into God's time. And it's tremendous to see people just moved and the intensive part is that we're packing a lot in to a short amount of time so you can see what is this ministry about and what is it that I have within me that I have left dormant. And I'm just beginning to realize I may have a call to do something greater than I otherwise gave myself benefit of the doubt to do.
Well, it is sure to be a wonderful weekend, Scott, and with you and Janice and the other team, those who are participating will come out of it different people, that is for sure. Before we go today, will you end us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for the gift that you share with us completely. You say, all that I have is yours. All that the Father has given me is yours. So let us live into that this week, hearing that echo in our minds that what you've given us is within us through our baptism. Let us expound on that anointing this week. Let us be a gift to our family, to our workplace, to our parish communities, and may we grow in faith together in unity. In your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
And that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Please tune in next week as we share with you more stories about our faith, our family, and our View from the Pew.
God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at materdayradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.